Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. There you will find that we are called to watch, therefore. For ye know not the hour, for the Son of Man doth come. The Word says, the Lord, He's our Master. And we don't know when He's coming again. As you're opening up the Word of the Lord, and you're looking at Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, take in the surrounding context, but also look at Matthew chapter 25, start around verse 13 and go to verse 30. Both of these chapters are all about the return of our Lord and Savior, King Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, and I know we're in the Christmas time, but for the church, we're in the season we call Advent. And yes, during the season of Advent, we love to look at the first coming of Jesus. You know, we've got the little babe in the manger, and we've got the wise men coming from the east, and here's the star, and oh, it's wonderful, and all that stuff is great. And we got the shepherds abiding in the field at night, and the angels singing in excelsis. Okay, no, they weren't singing in Latin. But truly, that is a great part of the Christmas season. And it's also part of Advent because we were looking at the first coming of Jesus. But here, I'm in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and we're looking at the other part of Advent. And the other part of Advent is where we look at the second coming of Jesus. Now, as you're looking at the second coming of Jesus, and I hope you're taking in the full context, because this is where the chapters dictate what the verses mean. And as you're looking at the context there, I ask you, everybody hear this question. Are you ready for the return of Christ? Are you ready? Are you ready for a time of no more pain and suffering? Hey, are you ready for the wedding feast of the Lamb? That's in Revelations 19, I believe it's verses 7 to 9. Are you ready for this feast, this party, this celebration? Now, everybody stop and think about this for a second. This dawned on me last night, and I thought about this. You know, when God throws a party, there ain't going to be nothing like it. Everybody stop. When God does stuff, He does stuff perfect. He is perfect in everything He does. So no matter what this party is, the celebration, the food, the whatever's there, it is going to be absolutely awesome, everybody, ain't it? Yes. And the thing is, we are so limited, we can't even begin to imagine what kind of party God's going to throw, but it's going to be an infinitely awesome party. Y'all ready for that? How many of y'all are ready for a time of no more sin? Amen. How about a time of no more backbiting, no more gossip, no more lying, no more slander, no more murder? How about a time of no more idolatry or adultery or fornication or coveting? How about a time where all that is done away with? And I bring that up because I know that the Apostle Paul, both in Corinthians and Galatians, says something to the effect of, I tell you once, nay, I'll tell you again, those who do such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. So when the second coming comes, there will be no more sin, because all the people who want to be defiant of God, and they don't want to believe in Jesus, and they don't want to repent of their sin, they're not there. There's nobody to cause rabble-rousing and chaos and problems. So are you ready for that time of joy and peace and health and no more sin and no more wickedness? If you are, look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. We are all supposed to be ready right now. So let me ask, are you ready right now? If Jesus were to come, we open the doors right now, and the mountains are being cleaved in two, the Son of Man is appearing, and His heavenly hosts are, would you be ready for it right now? Do y'all know that there are a lot of people who aren't ready? There's a lot of people who aren't ready. And this is a part of the Advent, you know, teaching and preaching that people say, well, that's more of that revival style preaching. Well, yeah. Because in looking at the second coming of Jesus, it's fun to focus on the happy stuff and the good stuff and the positive stuff. But I would be a very bad pastor if I didn't say in the second coming, there's a lot of folks who aren't going to be ready. And if you're looking at it, the context of 24 and 25, yes, there's these people out there who don't believe in Jesus and they're kind of talked about, but Jesus is actually talking to his disciples. So he's talking to all of us right now. And so, yes, I know when Jesus comes back, there are going to be billions of people who aren't ready. They don't believe in Jesus. I know they're not ready. God says they're not ready. They're not ready. But you know what? There's another group. If you start unfolding the context there, there's a whole big old group inside of what we call church. They ain't ready neither. They're not ready either. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. And I know the pulpit's not a place for comedy routines, but a friend of mine shared me a joke about the second coming. I think fits very appropriately. And I was talking to a friend of mine about what we call the imminent return of Jesus. Now, I use a big word, imminent. That means it can happen at any moment. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's imminent. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. 15 years. I don't know. If you run into somebody who says that they know when Jesus is coming back and they say, oh, I've done the math. No, they don't know. Okay, everybody? They don't know. So I was talking to my friend about the imminent return of Jesus, and they told me a joke about the second coming. It goes like this. You ready? Quick, everybody, look busy. Jesus is coming. Okay, and you know, the little subtle attempt at humor there, but there's a lot of truth in that joke. There's a lot of truth in that joke because when Jesus comes back, there's going to be some people who call themselves Christian. They ain't ready, and they're going to have to look like they're being busy for Jesus. Because they haven't been. Because they're not ready. See, if you're looking at the context of 24 and 25, Jesus tells us it's going to be like the days of Noah, before the flood. People weren't paying attention to the Lord. They weren't paying attention to anything. They were going about their daily routines. They were eating, they were drinking, the giving in marriage. For us nowadays, watching television, going shopping, sitting there with our iPhones, blah, blah, blah. Texting, going to work. They're completely oblivious. Right now, if Jesus were to come back, there are tons of people who are completely oblivious that every day is one step closer, one day closer to the day of judgment. Today was closer than yesterday. If he doesn't come today, tomorrow will be closer than today. Every day is one day closer. And as you unfold these two chapters, these people are so not ready, you can see their not readiness. They take the commands of God, they're like disposable suggestions. They aren't commands, they aren't compelled to obey. They don't care. The salvation message, you know, doesn't really mean anything because they're not living a saved life. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Salvation message is there, but they're running from him. They're running from the saved life. They don't care. They're really not ready for what's going to happen on the day of judgment. Now, I know there are people out there in Christianity land someplace will say, well, you can't say that they're not ready. That's between them and Jesus. And so, okay, you know what that person's letting me know is that they've never read their Bible. Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 7 and look at verses 21 to 23. It's not Justin Griffin up here telling you that they're not ready. I know what Jesus says about what's going to happen on the day that he returns, and it's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. And you see, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, guess what happens? There are going to be a whole bunch of folks who come up to Jesus and say, and I'm just going to paraphrase, Lord, Lord, we've done this in your name, and we've done that in your name. And Jesus is going to look at them and say, I don't know you. They don't make it in. He says, I don't know you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. And I'm just bringing together verses 21, 22, and 23. You see, those are the words of the king. That's the words of the eternal judge and lawgiver. The people who come to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, that's not the people of the world who don't know Jesus. The people out there who don't believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior are not coming up to him saying, Lord, Lord. Do you know who that group is? It's people in the church. That's who those people are. And there's a big umbrella group out there. They are not ready for Jesus' return. Thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23. That's a scary thought, isn't it, everybody? This brings me to point number two, where we're called to be ready. Here this morning, how many people believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Amen?
Amen.
Wonderful. I'm glad you believe. Because you believe, according to the word of the Lord, you are the children of light. Wonderful. You are the servants of the Most High God. You are the priesthood of believers. And this is where bad Bible teaching really steps in. Because if I were about to stand up here and tell you, now you need to get ready. No, that's wrong. You see, I understand what the Bible's teaching in Matthew 24 and 25. I'm to already be ready. If I am putting off today and I'm going to say I'm going to do it tomorrow, then I'm not ready. I might not have tomorrow. Amen? How many people right now can say, I'm going to be here tonight? If you know your Bibles, you know that by the grace of God, I will be here tonight. But it's only by His grace. Can God not call all of us home in the twinkling of an eye, in the blink of an eye, and it's gone? We don't put it off. And see, as you unfold the text and you go through there, we're called to watch. In other words, if I start to break it open, we don't have a verb for this in English. We'd have to say, I am already watching. I am already in progress of preparation. I'm already persevering. We're all ready to be ready. We're not supposed to get ready. And a good parable for this is found in Matthew chapter 25, starting about verse 13, go to verse 30. It's a wonderful parable Jesus unfolds here about the second coming. And he gives this example of this man. He's going to go off to a foreign land, but he leaves his servants with some monetary gifts. He gives this one fellow 5 gold coins. He gives another fellow a couple of gold coins and gives this fellow over here 1 gold coin. But he lets them know, I'm coming back, y'all. Is Jesus coming back?
Yes.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. Everybody in this room he has given a gift to. The first gold coin is this. You have been given the gift of salvation. Amen?
Yes.
Go invest it. Go do something with it. Do not sit on it. Do not put it under a bushel. Do not hide it under a bed. We are to take that gift and multiply it. Also, you see, in this parable, people were given a little bit more than others. That's just the way it is. Some of you have more gifts out there. Good for you. Some of you are called to be evangelists. You have the gift of salvation. You have the gift of sharing the gospel. Go invest it. Go do it. Double it. Triple that investment God gave you. Some of you have been given the ability to teach by singing. I don't have that gift. I sound like a bag of cats in a fan belt. I can't teach by singing. But some of you can. Take that gift and invest it. Take that gift, that wonderful gift, and use it. Double it. But if you're looking at Matthew chapter 25, verse 13 to 30, there is a fellow there, he didn't invest his gift. He didn't at all. A matter of fact, if you start looking around verse 30, you find when the master came back, he calls him lazy, a sluggard, and wicked. You see, what that servant did is it went and hid his coin in the dirt. In other words, he was given this wonderful gift, and he didn't do anything with it. So what was he doing with his whole time? Here are the other people. They're working for Jesus. They're serving Jesus. They're investing what they've been given. What is this guy over here doing? I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, hanging out, you know, downtown someplace, the street corner. Who knows what he was doing? But he wasn't ready for the master's return. And this is very interesting because as you look at it, you look at verse 30. It's very interesting. Now, if your Bible doesn't say this, go get a new Bible. Go get a better Bible. He'll be thrown out into utter darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is a common biblical reference for hell. That echoes Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, where Jesus says, "I don't know you, away from me." We're not called to be lazy with the gift. We're not called to be lazy with sharing the gospel. We are called to get out and be amongst the people, and we are called to invest what God gave us. Amen? Amen. Here's the third point of the sermon. And I love teaching. Here we're in the Christmas season, and people put up Christmas trees, and some people go wild and they decorate their whole yard. They got these like giant candy canes and Santa Claus sleighs and all that kind of stuff. And that's fun stuff, isn't it? Yes. And then you've got these Christmas parties and people giving Christmas presents and eggnog and Yule logs and all that kind of stuff. And that is fun, isn't it? I think it is fun. But don't forget the reason of the season, which is Jesus came as the Messiah the first time. He's still the Messiah, and the Messiah's coming back. That's the whole reason for Advent, for Christmas. Think of the word Christmas, Christ Mass. It's all about worshiping King Jesus when he came the first time and when he's coming the second time. And when he comes the second time, it is going to be that time where it's going to be fun and God's going to have this wonderful celebration, the wedding feast of the Lamb. And there's going to be no more pain and no more suffering and no more tears, no more old age, no more cancer, no more arthritis, no more blindness, no more baldness. Anybody liking that so far? Yeah. That's, But when he comes back, that's when the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be opened. And we're going to see if the name is in there. If my name isn't in there, there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I will hear Jesus' words, "Away from me, I do not know you." Or if you were looking at your Bibles in Matthew chapter 25, verses 13 to 30, some of you will hear this, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the inheritance which I have prepared for you." Hey, y'all want to hear that? Then be ready. Be ready now. And I have had people, and I'm going to close on this. I've had people ask me, "How do you know when you're ready for the return of Jesus?" Here's how you can know. I get this from the theologian C.S. Lewis. And this is a wonderful teaching. If there was no heaven or hell at the end of days, would you still want to go? If all there was after Jesus' return was God, and that was it, would you still want to go? C.S. Lewis and I both have experienced this in his day, and he's long since dead, and in my day. I know Christians right now that believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, not because they love God, but because they don't want to go to hell. That's their whole reason for being saved. That's not a good reason for being saved. I know people right now who their whole reason for being saved is because they want to go to heaven. They don't want their life on earth is horrible, and they want the reward in heaven, but they're not going because God is there. If you can say right now, "I love God so much that if there is no heaven and there is no hell, I want more God." If you can say that, you're ready. Because you're not going to skip a punishment. And you're not going because a reward is there. You're going because you absolutely love God. Amen? And this is how this works. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. When you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are filled with God, who is love. And so in the day of judgment, you are being reunited with more of God, who is love. It is the love of God in you, loving the God who is in you, loving the God who is returning, and being united more with the God who is love. And that is why, if you can say, if there is no heaven and there is no hell, I just want more God, you are ready. I encourage everybody here today, meditate, enjoy the Christmas season, absolutely. Meditate on the Word of God. Focus on the love. And don't, quote, get ready. Be ready right now. Because it can come in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Life can be here today and snuffed out in a breath. Be ready now, not tomorrow. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Without you, we can